Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, be with us as we seek your understanding, your will, and the ability to do it. With thanksgiving we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's talk about money today, and maybe gold, and how about prayer also? These are subjects that Jesus talked about. They are a normal part of life. And in a few short weeks, we are going to have an event coming up. It's an eclipse on August 21st. And looking into the Bible, it Luke 21:25, it says that there will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. The verse before this mentions Jerusalem, and the verse after it mentions fear. I think the theme that we can most pay attention to is that we are in a season, a new season, which brings us one step closer to the return of Jesus Christ. We will have a solar eclipse across America this month. And then next month, on September 22nd, there is going to be the Revelation 12:1-2 event. And many people are saying, look at this, look at it, because it's an event that shows the great wonder in heaven, a woman, the likeness of the constellation Virgo, which is clothed in the sun, and the moon is at her feet. Well, oh yes, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. You know, there's normally only 9 stars in that little crown. But on this date, there will be 3 more. They're actually planets, but they look like stars. And the astronomers say that this has not happened before, and this will not happen again. That crown of 12 stars. Like I said, it's a season. That's what I see. And now going back to that Luke 21:24, Jerusalem is mentioned. And it could be important because in 2017, it is a Hebrew Jubilee year, every 50 years. And the last Jubilee, what happened was Israel reclaimed Jerusalem. That was quite an event. Who knows what'll happen in this Jubilee year? It's a question. Another interesting note is that Jonah preached to Nineveh to repent or perish. And history says that there was an eclipse 30 deep days before he arrived in Nineveh. It's just kind of an interesting fact about an eclipse. It might be an indicator of some significant event soon to occur. I'm not sure how to interpret these events, but I want to point them out to you so that you can see that we have significant times at hand. They are right here at the doorstep. Certainly, we can all see what this means to each one of us. We can examine our relationship with God, God through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. We know that He loves us. He loves us so much, He loves us more than we love ourselves. Hard to believe, but true. He allows us to have free will, and while we live, we can do all the different things that we think are the most appropriate. And He will come into your life if you invite Him. Yep, do this today, do this now. Invite Him into your life and watch Him work. Every one of us can have a personal relationship with Jesus. We say, "Yes, Lord," and it begins to happen. I know that for academic kinds of people, we can see things through logic, and we can see the patterns in history. We can see the patterns of what could be called chance circumstances or occurrences. So the closer we look and the closer we see these surprises, these chance occurrences coming up, and then we may be able to see a theme. That's what happened to me. I saw themes, and I saw that there were so many responses, things that could not have been simple chances, to the prophecies and predictions of the Bible. So I knew that there was something to the Bible, something very special. As you look, you can see the evidence is overwhelming that there is a God. God is real, Jesus is real, and He has a plan for the time that we spend with Him in eternity. We get to choose heaven or hell. It is our choice, and it is a free gift to us when we say yes. To learn more about Him, we can read His book, God's book, the Bible. We might want to look at the New Testament and maybe read the book of John, the Gospel of John. It's maybe the best place to start reading the New Testament. Different people have different ideas. But I think another part of that is to pray. Ask God questions and wait for His answers. You can be of any age and do this. I know that for me, I was relatively late, in my 40s, before I started searching out these questions, and it took me some years to examine the questions and see what logic and reason could bring me towards the truth of God. Now, I didn't know that when I started. It was a search of history, but that's where it ended up, that there really was a God and the Bible was true. Christian history has patterns in it, and so does political history. That is the practical history that we learn and we read about. Look for those patterns and see what happens. See what happens regarding power, regarding politics, or the events that go on, even famines and epidemics and the earth cycles. All these things are patterns. They're historical patterns. And there's good times, and there's difficult times. They're all patterns, too. It's good to have an understanding of how patterns go through the earth and through our life. You and me, we all have made very serious mishaps in our life, blunders, mistakes, and we all get up and we all try it again. We try to make the best choices we can. And we do learn, if we seek God, that when we seek God's wisdom and His will to guide us, that we do better in life, we have better results, and we're most pleased with it. Just make sure that it's God guiding us. And to do this, we practice, we listen to His voice, and we learn to know it. We develop this communication with Jesus Christ in all things, whether they're spiritual things or worldly things, and that includes money. Money. And yes, I have to say I made a mistake a few broadcasts ago, and several times I said money when I should have said currency. Money is something that has value, like pieces of silver. They have value. But currency takes the form of money, and it has a value assigned to it. Dollars, our United States dollars, have a value assigned to it. It's paper money. And that assigned value becomes it changing, and it changes based on something. It's really faith. That's what it is. It's faith that the dollar will have value. Originally, it was based on an amount of gold or then an amount of silver, and that's how they established the value of a dollar. And then it became changing, and it became relative to what its domestic purchasing power was, and these days more and more it's the international purchasing power. And now we are getting into a little troubled with that, because we can see that the dollar is losing its value, its purchasing power. For instance, if you look at what $100 would have bought 50 years ago, and since that time it has simply become less and less and less. And the people that are the international dealers, they know this. They know that our dollar will buy less and less stuff. And they want a more stable currency than the U.S. dollar. And so there's been a push to move away from the dollar as an international trading money or currency. We've seen this trend coming for the last years, certainly in the last 5 years, but if you've had your eyes open, you've seen it for the last 25 years or even longer. The trend has been coming this way. Many, many people have seen it. Many people who are in the financial realm have seen it also, and they've published articles about it. They've talked about the death of the dollar. And they've seen this thing coming too. A change. What does it mean? We will certainly be surprised at whatever it means. So many of us in our country, in the United States, and people internationally have wanted to find an answers of what to do. What should we do if the dollar loses its value? If the dollar suddenly, some people even say, dies. And it is possible, because paper currencies all over the world have died in the last 100 years. So there's been speculation about what kind of a crisis would come to the United States dollar. And with all the printing of dollars, the printing of money in the last years, it becomes more and more evident that something pretty drastic is going to happen. As I said, it's been noted by the international community. The United Nations have noted it with their World Bank and their International Money Fund. These people who have to do with international money have been structuring changes for when these things actually do happen. How would it be best to happen? Lots of ideas, lots of things that could happen. And really, we don't know what and we don't know when. But we can see the trends. We can see the direction things are taking, and we can see it's pretty likely to happen. Remember about a month ago, I did offer my idea that something very serious would happen. You could call it a crash if you want. I don't know what it'll be, but it'll surely be a problem for the dollar. And somewhere in our future, but I can't tell if it's 2 months away or 2 years ago, but I do see it as coming. That's what I said a few weeks ago. So What would be smart to do? I think there's a couple of just plain basics, and they are showing themselves to be a better and better idea. Pay off your debts. Pay off everything you can that you owe, because if the economy crashes, it means that things will really get difficult. And also have some basic supplies on hand. What those supplies are, what the specifics of it are, that's something for you to decide. Everybody will do something a little bit different, but you have to look at what you just might do just to develop your ideas and see about it. It's been a process that's a pretty known process. It happened in our Great Depression, where money got scarce, or currency or money, it got scarce. It disappears when there's something like the Great Depression happens. Not only does money disappear, but so do the jobs. The economy just retracts and crashes. People get hungry, and that's what happened in the Great Depression in the 1930s. The money disappeared, jobs became scarce, people got hungry, and there were food lines at that time, and people survived who were on farms. It was a very difficult time, and more than a few people have observed this process and what happens. People in all the different areas have seen something like this happened. And now, in the last year or 2 years, there's been some very big money investors, very big money people, investing firms and such, that have been talking about having another Great Depression coming to the United States, and that it could spread throughout the world. Some say not as bad as that Great Depression, and some say definitely worse. We can only guess, but it is a concern when many of the big money people are saying things along the same line. And what do they say besides this? They say to put some of your money into something like a precious metal that retains its value. When you have money that is kind of like extra, you can put it into that. That is to say, gold or silver. They call it bullion coins, and that means just plain and simple 1 ounce silver or 1 ounce gold coins. That's been an interesting part, because there's been a development in the last, well, it's quite a few years, but there has been a system where they trade paper gold and paper silver. And they can suddenly put it onto the stock money exchanges, like the New York Stock Exchange or commodity traders. And so they suddenly put on and sell these paper contracts for gold, because it doesn't actually mean you have the gold, but it means that you sell the paper which represents gold. Or in the case a little while ago, weeks, or was it months now? They put someone, it's unknown who, sold 50 million ounces of paper silver. It doesn't mean they had the silver, but they sold that many ounces of silver. Ounces of silver. How did this happen? It was widely wondered about that. And it's just a question to show that there really is a certain manipulation that goes on. And today, it's by the people who follow this, they say that for every 1 ounce of physical gold, there are 500 ounces of gold as a paper contract. 500 to 1. That's just amazing. Amazing. How can this happen? I don't even get it, really, but I know that it's... No, how do I know? I hear that it's true from people who should have a really good understanding of this. And they say 500 ounces of gold for every 1 ounce of physical gold that there is. Yeah, this indicates that there could be some kind of a crisis coming up. Call it currency, call it monetary, whatever you want to call it. It's something that there could be confusion in the overall marketplace, and certainly with gold and silver. See, silver has the same kind of thing of 500, I understand it's more, ounces of paper silver to every 1 ounce of physical silver that exists. Yes, it's a problem. It's a real problem. And so if you are going to buy, or let's say invest in a silver coin, buy it and have it on some place that you know where it is, someplace secure, silver or gold, either way. It's kind of a decision you get to make. It's kind of like gold is for investing. If you want to buy gold, it means you have an asset in the form of gold. People who buy silver pretty much buy silver because they see it's going to be traded or used or bartered or something. Right now, a silver coin, a 1 ounce, they call it a bullion coin, which means it's a modern coin. And that they cost about $17 now. And a 1 ounce gold coin, the bullion gold coin, costs about $1,275. What a difference, huh? So you can see gold is for investing at $1,275, and silver is for using if you want to buy something at $17 each. So look at these things and consider holding these things as an emergency measure or as wealth preservation. There's lots of people who are, and there's banks and institutions. It's rumored that the Rothschild in France is, I can't remember his first name, but he's one who has heavily invested in metals like gold. J.P. Morgan has heavily invested in silver. It's just something for you to consider. You look at it and you determine if it's right for you. I think it's a good thing to examine. Oh, but before you think about putting some money into a precious metal like that, consider food. Put money into food because that's something you need every day. There is a big question of what will happen to food, because we're kind of on the edge of supply and demand for how the food is going in this country and in the world. It's kind of like there's barely enough to go around. There's not a lot in reserve. But money is another matter. I do think of Genesis 47:15, and it talks about when money failed in the land of Egypt and the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came unto Joseph and said, "Give us bread, for why should we die in thy presence? For the money faileth." And I think that's a really good example. Money failed. It's failed lots of times since, in lots of different countries, in lots of different ways. It could happen again, and it could happen here. So that's a matter of what do you do to have a little insurance to protect yourself against such a thing happening. Please note that I don't have anything to do with selling metals or anything. That's not anything I do. It's just that it strikes me as something that is a good idea. So I talk about it. I talk about different things that are preparations, and I talk about, well, food in this country. You know, for years and years, no, it's decades and decades, the United States has had a strategic grain reserve right on hand. There has been grain held for just in case we needed it. And then in 2008, it was pretty much decided that it would all be sold and used. And now we really don't have any grain in our strategic grain reserve. And that's quite a shock to people of a few years, who have a few years on them, because they remember when we really did have a large strategic grain reserve. Enough for 5 years, 15 years of grain or wheat just to feed our population, but that's all gone. Now how much grain is there? They say there is enough grain in the United States Strategic Grain Reserve to give half a loaf of bread to every person in the United States. Half a loaf of bread, that's how much our reserve is. Well, the ancient Egyptians had Joseph to go to for food in case there was a famine. Where would we go in North America if we needed to have food or bread? What would we do? So, give this some thought. Think about what are the basic ingredients in the food or the bread that you use, the one that you eat, and stock up on some grain. Grain lasts years and years and years and years. So just think about what kind of bread, what kind of grain you have in your bread, and stock up on it, and get a hand wheat grinder as well. Grain grinder. You can grind up rice, you can grind up grain, you can grind up spelt. They're all good ideas. It just, you have to think about it, and then you have to do something. Sometimes it's hard to see these questions because it's a new way of looking at things. We're so accustomed to having everything go along in life ever so comfortable and easy. But with these signs, with these indicators at hand, we can see that there really could be problems. And that's what I talk about as I talk about there could be problems and we should do something about it. Food is something we need every single day. So consider stocking up, have a little bit. There's various things that could happen in our world. There's complications. There's present conditions that could simply change. And I know one of the things that each one of us deals with is called our normal way of thinking. That's called a normalcy bias. Normalcy bias. And what it means is we have a hard time considering things that we don't usually think about. And certainly with all the years and decades of a plentiful supply of food, we don't think that there could be any question but that food is going to be available in the grocery store. We don't even think about it because it's never happened in our lifetime. Never happened to our parents. It has happened to our grandparents or great-grandparents. So we just don't think of it as real. And that's what the normalcy bias is we don't think about it. But there have been times in the past where there has been shortages of food. That's been in America, too. In the 1700s and the 1800s, yes, and it could happen again. We're not guaranteed food. We have to use our sensibility. And that's one of those things that we just, I think it's a good idea to be aware of. And so I tell you about it. Yes, I often speak about this trend and about being prepared. And I have noticed that more and more people are recognizing that we could be in a precarious position in our country. There has been a trend that I've noticed as I've talked with people that they agree there could be a problem. And so they're getting their 4 days of food that FEMA recommends, food and water. But I've noticed another part of this trend. I've been surprised at the number of people who have told me they have a target of getting a 6-month food supply. That seems to be kind of, if people are trending towards a trend, that's what it is, a 6-month food supply. And I think that's very interesting. So I do talk with people about this. Oh, and you know I prefer grain. I do like the idea of grains and storing up and having supplies. Grain, sugar, salt, oil, and cast iron pot, of course, because that gives you the iron your body needs. So I do have a preparedness pamphlet, which I am always glad to give anybody a copy of. you can send me a stamped self-addressed envelope, and I will send a copy of it to you. Send it to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. These papers are free. I just ask that you put a self-addressed stamp envelope with it so that I can put my little pamphlet in the mail to you, and then you'll get it. Again, that's John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Certainly, if you would like to send a donation for this radio show, that's welcome too. But the pamphlets are free. I'm very glad to send these to you. It's a good idea to just get a little thought going here. And that's what I hope that these pamphlets will do, is inspire anyone to look. I don't have a mailing list, and I don't want a mailing list. Well, if you wanted me to keep your name as a mailing list, I could do that, but you should tell me, otherwise I don't keep them. So, back to the point. A whole lot is going on in the world. We do get surprises. Some of the surprises are good. Some of them are not so good. And so I say, think, plan, and do. And remember that there are many blessings from God that we do have. Give God thanks for all that we have. We have a lot of blessings, and we do better if we remember them. It helps us with our mental attitude and our lovingness and all of this. So there are people who see that our financial system could be in great difficulty. Some people see that our political system could be in great difficulty as well. Now, our financial system, our political system have continued, and I hope they do. I really do. But there's people who see that there's great dangers coming up and that a collapse is coming to one or to both. I myself have studied nations. I have studied history, and I can see that the signs of an economic or a societal collapse are right here, really. And it doesn't mean it'll happen, but it sure could happen, and it sure could happen in very short time. We just don't know what the time frame is, and we don't know what could cause it. But the conditions are right there to say, look out. There's warning signs. Watch out. I think of ancient Rome. We have similar patterns as ancient Rome. And before that collapse, there was a currency debasement, which means the currency was inflated and it had less and less value. Why did that happen? It happened a lot because of government overspending. And you know that's what's going on these days in our country. Government overspending. I've talked before about the $20 trillion national debt we have. So the other thing that accompanied the decline of Rome was a moral decline. People were at one time moral in Rome, even though the morality might not be associated with the biblical morality. But there was a morality, and we can only guess at how things will unfold. We really don't know the answer, but we can see the possibilities. We can see what happens when God's principles are violated. And that's the kind of things that we can keep our eyes open and recognize there's going to be a problem here because things are going on that should not be going on. And to me, the obvious answer is to get some things that are supplies. Sure, get gold if you want, get silver if you want. That's good. But I do say buy food first, because you will always use that food. It's something you will always use. You can always make bread with it or other dishes. I say get clothes. Warm clothes are always good. If the electricity goes out, you will use those warm clothes. The gold and the silver, maybe you won't use it, but you can always sell it if you buy it. So there's a question of looking at what just might happen. Have a plan. You have to look at these things in order to get a plan. You can see what's appropriate for you. Nobody else can decide that. I can't decide that. Only you understand those possibilities. And you will come up with your own answers. And then act on them. Remember, it's you who are responsible for you. It's you who are responsible for your family. One way or another, you have to be the person to do this. You can't rely on the people who are around you. You can't rely on your family to provide for you. Maybe not even your church. Maybe not your government. Well, certainly, you've seen the failures of that in recent days or years. You are responsible for you. So look closely at what the possibilities are and then come up with a plan. Yes, have a plan. Don't just do something quickly. But a plan will mean that you will effectively spend your time and your effort and your resources to do something that is reasonable. Other people see the problems, and I've named the name of people in this broadcast before, people who are well-known people. Many of them are authors. Some of them have been involved in high-level politics or high-level banking, and they see these problems coming. So look back on my programs if you want. You can see what else I've said, but be reasonable, whatever that is to you, and do things according to a plan. We have lots of indicators that trouble is coming. One of the things that is an indicator is that we are not pursuing God and His holiness. We're pursuing something else. As a country, as a society, there's a whole lot of hedonism, which means if it feels good to you, then do it. But that's not of God. That is not something that God says for you to do. So, you just have a look at this all. Oh, boy. My button just went off, and I'm going to try this again to see. I just pressed it. I think it will continue. So remember that God loves us. It's the God of the Bible. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, say yes to God. Say yes and have a relationship with Him. He is the ultimate authority, and He can tell you what to do. How do you have a conversation with God? How do you know that your prayers are listened to? How do you do that? Well, I think the big thing you do is you learn to listen. You learn to say something to God and hear His reply. I remember I had Pastor Lloyd Tremaine on the radio show Christ Today. And you can hear him by going to christtoday.org. And that was on July 8th of this year, 2017. On that broadcast, he talked about what it was like to hear the voice of God. Now, when you type in Christ Today, remember it is lowercase, and there are no spaces. There are several Christ Todays, and the one with lowercase is and no spaces is the one that you will want to use. Go to Christ Today, and you'll see KKXX on the top, and you'll see my name, John Stephenson, in the middle. And then you scroll up and see the dates that you want to look at. So in any case, you just touch the broadcast and see what you'd like to listen to. They're all a little bit different. And so see which one interests you. And then have a listen, please. There are many broadcasts since January 2017. And I have addressed the areas of preparedness and having practical examinations of what you just might do. I've talked about the dangers of things going on. I've talked about why there could be a sudden collapse or catastrophe or natural disaster happen and what you would want to do about it. It's always different. We always do something a little bit different. So I would like you just to give some thought about the money or the currency, that theme, and see what it is that you can figure out to do about it. It's an ongoing concern. It's the banks are reflecting the troubles. They have reflected the troubles in the past with Greece, with Cyprus, and now there's a problem in Italy. And Deutsche Bank in Germany has been a problem for quite a while. It's continuing to be a problem, and it's continuing to decline. And we have a just-in-time food supply, and we don't know when that would be disrupted. So, you know, I'm going to go back to my old theme, which is get something, be prepared, look at what just might happen, and do something about it. Food is really a life and death issue. It's big. And there are other issues that we face also. We face things that just might happen. No guarantee that they will, but we see a trend. Terrorism could happen. It could rise up. All sorts of things. International relations could happen. A war could happen. There's quite a few things that just might happen, and we don't know what they are. So just think, plan, and do. You know, just days ago, there was something with Russia where additional sanctions were placed on Russia by the United States. And there has been kind of a history that after sanctions, what happens is a war develops. That's just a kind of a historical fact. Is war with Russia in our future? Well, I sure don't know. It could be, it could not be, and we don't know. But I have seen people who have talked about it prophetically, and still I don't know that it'll happen, but I do pay attention when people who say they're prophets talk about things, and I give it some weight. It's not quite like I believe it, but I realized that it surely could happen. And now what do we say? Now what do we do? Give it some thought. That's what I say. Remember, with all these things going on, remember that we have lots of blessings, lots of good things going on. But we still have to be aware of what might happen in the physical world and in the spiritual world. You know, there's lots of people who follow a different God, and they agree with the direction that the United States is a problem. And they say that America is, well, it shouldn't be, just plain and simple. You can look at Iran, who feels that way. They talk about it. There's an element in China that feels that way, and they are a worthy adversary, and so is Russia. It's just interesting. It's something to look at and not to close our eyes from, because there are real problems that could develop into real serious problem, and even war. It could develop into war with the United States. We're not guaranteed to not have a war. There are possibilities. There are possibilities that an economic situation could turn into a real war situation. They call that a hot war. Yeah, that hot war could easily reach a boiling point. And we don't quite know what'll happen. But we do see that there's physical reasons, political reasons, and spiritual reasons to say that there could be a coming war, the so-called hot war. And so what do I say? Look out. I say look out, because something big, bad, and ugly just might be coming our way. It's not that I know. It's not that I have a special word from God. No, but I do listen and I do pay attention to what's going on. And so I think about these things and I tell you. So there are elements of the battle shaping up. And all we can do is say, look, and have an idea about it, and then see what would affect us and how it would affect us in every sense, physically and spiritually. There are spiritual things going on. I think about as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days before the coming of the Son of Man, Jesus. So I don't know what that means, but I have fun taking guesses at it. I've never seen a UFO. I've never seen an alien. I've never seen a giant. And I've never seen the physical manifestations of a demon. And I thank God that I haven't seen them. Oh, yes. But there are people who have seen all these things. And their testimonies are consistent in their theme. They have elements of similarity, and so you have to recognize that this gives it an element of truth. So I don't have to have it happen to me personally to know that it's the truth. But I know that the spiritual world is very real, and I know I've seen my prayers answered in a very physical way. Spiritual and physical have a correlation. And I know that prayers have a real and a physical effect. And I know that because of the timing of things, because of the prayers that were given, and you know that there is a real physical effect given from God for the prayer that was given to Him. So, test this. See it for yourself. You give it a good look and make sure that what you are trusting in is real. The God of the Bible, He is real and He answers prayer. So, our God is real. He's not just a magic genie or something where you say, I have wishes and this is what I want. No, it's not our wishes that were followed. It's when our wants and desires line up with His plan and His purpose. That's when things happen. And then sometimes He gives us a little grace and does things just because we want something. It all different ways to see things happen. And there are miracles that really do happen. You know this by talking to people. You know that there are people who have had miracles happen to them. Realize that God created us. God loves us, and we can be a part of His plan. We say, yes, Lord, and we are a part of His plan. We can go to heaven, too. Just check it out, and you'll see the truth of it. And renew your belief. Renew your faith. Well, this coming battle, and I do see it as a coming battle, it has spiritual dimensions to it. And those spiritual dimensions are played out in the physical realm, right here on planet Earth. There's things that have happened and probably will repeat themselves in history. That is, history will repeat itself. And you look at the time, at the very beginning, that there were creatures. Creatures somehow were created in ancient history. Well, we see evidence of it in the art. We see evidence of it in writing, and so we can take it that it will happen again, because as it was in the days of the coming of the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. History repeats itself. We see this. We can see it in our physical world too. When we look at the artwork around, there's lots of art that shows things that are strange to us, like UFOs, like giants, like surprises. And so we get hints at just what might be going on In the past, they were seen as mysteries, and probably today they are mysteries too. So we have to remember that these things we attribute to God, not to something that's an alien form of life. We have to remember that it is God who creates all these things. They're not chance occurrences. They're not surprises. They're not done by aliens. They're not done with beings that have no morality, and that's what it seems that the aliens are promoting, if we listen to that direction. No, we do not want our moral compass to go in that direction. We do not want to think that aliens created us, that we came from elements of rock, of mud. No, there is no moral compass to mud. So, and that's a philosophy that's going on that these days, that we were created by aliens or came out of the mud. No, we were created by God, and we have to know that we are subject to God and His standards, which are communicated to us through the Bible. That is His word, and that's what He has used to communicate with us. We want to follow His will and be obedient to Him, and that shows that we belong to Him. It is God's will that we want to follow, not somebody else's, not even ourselves. I think of that Satanist, I hate to mention his name, but just so you know, it's Aleister Crowley, who just about a century ago, or a little less, he followed his hedonistic ways, which means following himself and whatever he wanted to do. And that's what he said. He said that follow your own law, and that was to do whatever you wanted. Let's see, he said, oh, do what thou wilt. That is the whole of the law. That's how he lived. And that is not the way to do it. Because when we look close, we can see that there is a God, and He has a plan and purpose for our life. There is a heaven and a hell, and we want to go to heaven. So follow God. Follow God as best we know how. And if you're not doing the best you know how, examine yourself and see how you can do better. Seek His understanding. Seek His will. And then really do the best you know how. And that's what everybody needs to do. It certainly is their understanding and your understanding. You will see it. So be faithful to what you know and understand. I'm so glad you're listening to Christ Today. Thank you. I'm going to read Ephesians 6:10, because that is one of my favorite scriptures. I just like it as a reminder. It's, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand up against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Remember how much God loves you. That's really the message of Jesus Christ and how we can belong to Him. Seek His will and do it. Well, I do have favorite scriptures, and so besides the Ephesians, I will read just a couple of other verses of scriptures I like. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, Let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, and that it was good. Another one I like is Ezekiel 14:12. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, when a land sins against me by persistent unfaithfulness, I will stretch out my hand against it. I will cut off its supply of bread and send famine on it. Another scripture is Matthew 24, in the beginning part, starting with 3. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, his disciples came to him privately, saying, Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, Take heed that no one deceive you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled at all. These things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Well, that one, there's so much too, but I think that's enough of Matthew 24. I like John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Yep. That's just a matter of how things go in the world. And I like John 15:9. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. That continues. And I think that John 15 is a very good chapter, and it's a reminder of the love that God has for each one of us. And we can always rest in his love, which is ever so wonderful. We give thanks to God in all things. In Jesus' name we give thanks and amen. Thank you for listening today. Until next week.